Welcome, everyone. This is TM Radio for Women. I'm your host, Janet Hoffman. I've been a certified teacher of the Transcendental Meditation Program since 1971 and have witnessed the universal benefits of TM practice for women, regardless of their career path, religious belief, and lifestyle. Published scientific research on the TM program shows that it's the most effective program for self-development worldwide. As more women are taking on increasingly higher levels of responsibility in both the private and public sectors, it's vital that we tap into the infinite source of creativity and intelligence within us. Each episode of our show will feature a guest speaker who'll give us a glimpse into the connection between the development of consciousness and a different facet of women's lives, our passions, our interests, and our issues. We'll demonstrate how TM practice enriches everything from health to relationships, career, parenting, culture, and religion.
Today's guest is Supriya Vidic, who lives in New York City. Welcome, Supriya.
Hi, Janet. So great to be here today.
Supriya went from living in Kansas City to a six-year military career, starting at the delicate age of 19. Supriya, can you tell us what attracted you to a military career, and also why did you choose to end your military service after 6 years?
Well, I would say there are several reasons why I decided to join the military. The first was adventure. I just really wanted to see the world. I wanted to see travel. There's a lot of opportunities through the military to do that and to have a lot of interesting assignments, which I did have when I was in the military. I was also looking for a way to pay for my college because very expensive, and the Army, as you may probably be aware, facilitates that very greatly by paying for college while you're in the Army and then paying for it afterwards, which really helped me a lot. And I guess the biggest reason was that I also wanted to be a part of history because 9/11 had just happened not that long before. And I really wanted to see the truth of the world. You know, I saw things on the media, I read about it, but I really didn't understand what was going on in the world, and I just wanted to really find the truth. So I did join the military, and I went to Iraq, and I saw a lot of that. And ironically enough, that's the reason I left, because I wanted to see the truth some more. Because what I discovered wasn't really the foundation of the world and of the universe, and I wanted more of it. And because of that, I actually ended up learning transcendental meditation as I left the military and began my new life.
Can you talk a little bit more about your military experience by describing maybe a personal experience of your own in combat, just as an example of the intensity of life?
Sure. I was in Iraq from December 2007 to March of 2009, so there for 15 months. And during those 15 months, for the first half of my deployment, for 8 months, I supported the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. And the second half, I was in another location in Baghdad, Iraq. But the U.S. Embassy is an incredibly heavily targeted area because it has a lot of government officials and generals that work there. And in one particular month, in March of 2008, we were bombed about 50 times a day. So we were just getting mortared and rocketed constantly. It was very intense. A lot of buildings were blown up constantly. People were dying in the streets. You know, our building just was getting destroyed over and over again. It's the building actually that we were in the U.S. Embassy is the former palace, presidential palace of Saddam Hussein. So it's very heavily fortified, but still it took a lot of attacks. And I actually never got PTSD from that experience, but a lot of people in my unit were very, very heavily affected by what was going on, and that showed when we came back from Iraq. So I would say that was the most intense period of my military career.
Yes, it seems almost unimaginable to people such as myself who have not been in the military or been in a war zone. You mentioned PTSD and how your unit, of course, along with you, were exposed to so many intense experiences. Can you define what post-traumatic stress disorder is?
I think it's, I don't actually know the technical definition because I'm not a doctor, but I think it's just whenever you have incurred stress and it affects your body to such an extent that you're constantly in fight or flight mode. Your brain, it's the way it's wired is that there's the reptilian brain, which is your primitive brain, and top of that is your brain that you have as a human, where the frontal cortex is the CEO. It's where you're able to make good decisions and sort of filter your instincts. But when you're stressed out, when you have chronic stress, when you experience stress day after day after day, the frontal cortex shuts down. So you no longer have access to it. So you're functioning from a more primitive level. So you're constantly in fight or flight mode. You're basically living your life in fear every day.
And you said that though you did not have PTSD, and that's wonderful news for you and for all of us to hear, but that it certainly affected many people in your unit. Can you tell us what were some of their symptoms and the consequences of PTSD?
Sure. Some of the symptoms of PTSD that I saw in the people in my unit, and as a leader, I saw that in my soldiers, was very challenging to make sure that everybody had a smooth transition from coming back, is I would say depression. There's a lot of depression and aggression. People, and a lot of the soldiers would go out and they would drink very heavily every night, you know, to the point of getting DUIs, of getting into fist fights, of having really, having issues in their personal relationships. They would also experience anxiety either at work or when they're not at work. They showed personality disorders, insomnia, nightmares, and this would come out in work and their inability to function. Also, marital problems arose a lot. There's a disconnection I saw in their family life. You know, they would go home and they had no way of connecting with their wives and their children. All of a sudden, they were different people. They weren't someone who had experienced war with them. And it's very, very difficult for a lot of people to be able to reintegrate into civilian life. And I think many of my friends to this day have not reintegrated yet. And it's been, you know, a few years since we got back.
I understand that there's a very high level of suicide amongst veterans.
It is, yeah, very, very high, very high. And it was just because of PTSD.
And can you tell us a little bit about, from what you know, of the current modes of treatment that are available for PTSD and what level of effectiveness they show?
Sure. Medicine is the most common solution for PTSD, and I know people who have taken 10 to 15 pills a day, and it's really not very effective. They're just taking pills every day, and there's side effects. You know, it affects your life, like bowel movements, to your sleep. It affects things in your body is changed when you're so heavily medicated. But they're still not really showing that much decrease in their symptoms. So I don't think it's very effective. And the military recognizes that this isn't very good, but they are still searching for other solutions. And they've tried to find some other things like counseling, but that also isn't really helpful because you kind of get stuck on the problem. I've talked to counselors in this arena, and they just talk about the problem, and it doesn't really go beyond it. But transcendental meditation is currently being researched by the Veterans Affairs in many locations across the country to see how TM does help PTSD. And currently it is being tested at several different military units, to include Fort Lewis, Washington, and also a military college called Norwich University, which is the oldest military college in the country. And there they've seen that transcendental meditation really helps soldiers before they get PTSD to not get it once they get into combat, and also to help with soldiers who already have PTSD reintegrate. And the reason for that is because transcendental meditation goes beyond the surface level layer of the problem, as counseling and medicine does not do that. And with TM, you go beyond to change consciousness and to change the finer levels of the person to get rid of stress from deep layers. And when you release that stress, the person is able to be free from having the frontal cortex shut down, and they're now able to function like a normal person again.
Yes, I've seen the research on the TM technique in that it allows blood flow to increase to the front of the brain, and the prefrontal cortex, or as you said, the CEO of the brain, becomes re-enlivened. So it's like taking something that was offline and getting it back online again, and people are more coherent in their thinking and more efficient and have better moral reasoning and less, as you said, likelihood to jump into fist fights and things like that, because they're functioning more from that higher level of the brain, which is only shown to be restored from the TM technique, as far as I understand it, not from any other kind of program for self-development or meditation or medication or hypnosis or anything like that.
Exactly. And actually, other techniques are like medicine and counseling that have been tried. Not only do they not help, but they can harm the individual because there's so many side effects. and TM is the only solution that even, you know, the military recognizes for PTSD currently. And from my own personal experience of seeing soldiers who have used TM versus medicine versus counseling, I've just seen their lives transformed. I know people, I have a friend in New York, actually, who's a veteran who was in the military for a long time and did several combat tours. When he came back, he couldn't go into public at all. He couldn't get into a subway train without having severe anxiety. He couldn't leave his house. You know, it was just really terrible. And he was taking about 15 pills a day for his PTSD with no help. And about a month after learning TM, he was able to finally take the subway for the first time after like a year coming back from Iraq. And his life is just completely transformed because of it.
It seems to be like a godsend for some people. I've read stories about veterans who feel that they live in darkness in their own mind, in their own heart, all the time, and then they learn the TM technique, and they say it's like for the first time light creeps in. And it's an interesting thing that they say, because one of the things I like to quote from Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the founder of the Transcendental Meditation Program, is that many modalities of treatment in today's world deal with what he calls discussing the darkness. But you can discuss the darkness all you like, but when you turn a light switch on, the darkness becomes less. Even if you just light a match, it becomes less. And then if that light grows and grows and you have the full beauty of daylight, let's say, then the darkness is gone and there's nothing to try to manipulate or understand or analyze or deal with. It's just mitigated. And so I think, you know, the fact that these soldiers use those words themselves as if they were in darkness and they couldn't deal with it, and now they just feel like they are alive again. Another question I just thought of, if you don't mind my asking before we close, is know that it's not just from things like being shot at, which is bad enough, and being bombed, and, you know, be careful where you're standing, any road you walk down, and so on in a war zone. Not just that kind of stress that people undergo. There's also the stress of being away from their family and the life that they know, and being living in a situation that I would describe as certainly less than comfortable. And women in particular, who have been designed physiologically to be nourishing, are now in the role of a soldier and don't have really that opportunity, maybe in the position of leadership as you had. They can be a little bit more nourishing, but they can't really be themselves so much when they're a soldier, is in their feminine role in life. And then there's this other side of that, which is that women are subjected to sexual harassment and worse in the military. Can you talk about the side effects of having had that kind of experience as a woman, or the women with whom you were working?
Yes, I actually didn't personally experience it, but I did. I was in charge of female soldiers who were harassed by other NCOs in my unit, and that was very unfortunate to see that, and it is very traumatic for them in so many ways, and it eventually led to these particular female soldiers to leave in the military because they just couldn't handle it anymore. So it is a big problem, and the military does recognize it as well. I think they're trying to figure out ways to help with sexual harassment that's going on, and rape as well that's going on. But I think what happens is the male soldiers, because they're so stressed out, they have nowhere to take it out on, so they take it on the female soldiers. It's really unfortunate, and it's not okay, and it's not an excuse, but that it does happen. And again, I think this goes back to the PTSD. Also, you mentioned the nourishing power of women. It's interesting because so many single mothers are in the military because they don't really know what else to do professionally to take care of their children, so they join the Army. I had a friend who gave birth to her second child, and 2 months later, she was in Iraq. And she was there, and she's still leaking breast milk. And it was really sad because she had no other option, because the military wouldn't let her have maternity leave to stay at home and take care of her son. And she was in Iraq, and it was just really heartbreaking for me to see that, to see her in so much pain. And physically, her body wanted to be there with her child, and emotionally, she wanted to be there with her child, but she was unable to do so. I think that by practicing TM in the military, a lot of people's minds would be more holistic, and they would have more compassion to see the needs of women. You know, if the leaders practice transcendental meditation, they would see that. And also, I think it would allow people to have better social relationships within the work, within the unit, whether it's towards your family or towards your other soldiers or towards your subordinates.
Yes, it sounds like there's a lot that should be done in order to make it a more ideal situation, if in fact even having a military is an ideal situation, but as long as it exists, to make it as ideal as possible. And the Transcendental Meditation Technique, from everything we've seen published on it, and there are about 360 peer-reviewed published research studies verifying the benefits of TM in all aspects of life, but it shows in this area tremendous ability not just to be more efficient and more focused and all the things that they would want in a soldier, but it allows a person also to experience more delicate feelings in their heart, to have more happiness, more friendliness, more compassion, more capacity, as you're saying, to have harmony in their social relations, which should not be something restricted to people out of the military, but should be allowed within the military as well.
Yes, you know, while I was in the military, I've seen from my own experiences as a leader how destructive PTSD can be for so many veterans. And my personal hope for the future is to see Transcendental Meditation integrated into the military as a prescription rather for prevention rather than an afterthought, and to be able to practice defense for our own nation and our own troops here at home. And I think Maharshi actually called this victory before war, so that we are able to have victory before we ever have to go to war.
And that, I think, summarizes the whole story right there. So thank you so much, Supriya, for joining us today.
If any of our listeners have questions for our guest or for me, or suggestions of topics for our shows, please contact me at radio@tm-women.org. That's radio@tm-women.org. To check out our video and audio cafe, and for more on the TM program for women, visit tmwomenprofessionals.org. Another site for information on the TM program is tm-women.org. To find a teacher in your area, please call 1-800-635-7173. Thanks for listening to TM Radio for Women.